Well, good morning, everyone, once again. This is always an interesting day, the day between Good Friday and Resurrection Day, because we know what's coming, but we need to remember what he did for us. And so in one way, it's a very sobering day, because what he did, he hasn't actually resurrected yet, if we want to put ourselves back in. This is quite a weekend one way, in that the Julian calendar, as you probably know, and the Gregorian calendar are lined up. So yesterday was not only Passover for the Christians, in a sense, is Passover for the Jews as well. And with those calendars different because of the lunar and the other, you know, it doesn't happen every year that occurs. I don't know how often it happens, but it did happen this weekend. So it's kind of a special weekend in that regard, because all the Jews were celebrating Passover at the same time we're celebrating the resurrection. And so this morning I wanted to, where we've been in the Psalms, and I just thought we would just read Psalm 22. And then on page 3 of your notes, I have 7 statements that Jesus made from the cross. I would like for us to read those together and just remember the cross at this point, because it was just yesterday, in a sense, and we know tomorrow is coming. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that it was your love that put you on the cross that you created, on the hill that you made, all because of your desire to make the payment, of which you had no reason to, other than your love for us. And because of that, you satisfying the wrath of God for all the sin of the world, for my sin, for each of our sins. And so, Lord, the gratitude that should be in our hearts because of what you have done is beyond compare. And so, Lord, help us to remember. Help us to be thinking about what it means to each of us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's begin with the old rugged cross, just to sing that together.
Oh,
know that the Holy Spirit, writing through David, this was penned about 1,000 years before Christ. Was penned at least 700 years before crucifixion was even known. And it begins with, "My God, my God." That's one of the few times in the scriptures that Jesus would ever refer to God the Father as God. It was always the Father. He'll come back to the Father right away in a way. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." But he was fully man at this point, had to be fully man to undo what Adam had done. He had to be fully man to be our kinsman redeemer. He had to be one of us. So God in his perfect, mystical wisdom created the perfect God, the perfect man. We could have had 1 billion men shed their blood and it wouldn't have forgiven one sin. Only the divine blood can forgive sin. So David wrote this to the chief musician, set to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy. Notice there, that's the reason that God forsook him, because God cannot commune with sin. He became our sin, even though he was sinless, Jesus. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. For I am a worm, a tolah, and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, "He trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him." But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. You know, the description here is more vivid than in any of the Gospels. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs, talking about Gentiles, I think demonically led. For dogs have surrounded me, the congregation of the wicked has enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Now, that would have been such a surprise to the Jews. That wasn't the method of execution ever. It was always stoning, wasn't it? They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. For my clothing, they cast lots. That, of course, is given to us in all four Gospels. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the Arioch, or the wild oxen. And now, If you take a breath right here, that's where we are this weekend, I believe. Looking ahead, verse 22, you have answered me, I will declare your name to my brethren out of the grave. In other words, in the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Hallel, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he is not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the affliction, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise forever, in other words, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, all those who go down to the dust. And when you see these all prophetically, I think it always refers to the end times. It's never going to happen before then. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship, all who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. Now here we are. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. He has done this. So I trust that those words sink deep in our hearts, and we would be especially convicted, if we need to be, to make sure we're proclaiming that to this generation and on. Now, if you turn to page 3, I just want to read together these 7 statements. I think that this is from Greg Laurie's list I copied off the internet, and I'm not sure that I totally agree with the 7 here. I agree with the 7, but the 7th, I think, should be, into your hands I commit my spirit. But he breaks down in this list, John 19:26-27, behold your son, behold your mother, as to 2 separate statements, and usually those, I think, are lumped together. But at any rate, just think what Jesus said on the cross, and remember to make any noise on the cross after you've been hanging there for a period of time is impossible, because you have no breath. And the only way you can make any noise is to lift your body up and that terrible, terrible pain on your feet, on the rest of your body. So it just was very rare that anybody would say anything after they'd been on the cross for a while. But here he says, the first statement that I have down on this list, Luke 23:34. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And some believe that was even said when they were nailing him on the cross. But whether it was when they were nailing, it was early on, apparently. And they divided his garments and cast lots. That's what they do when they put you on the cross, because they would take the garments and the soldiers would cast lots for them. And that's what they did in this case, we know from the scriptures. And then a few verses further in Luke 23:43, the thief on the cross, that beautiful, beautiful example of today, forget purgatory, today you will be with me in paradise. Such a beautiful thing. The thief who, until the last minute, I can't imagine anybody in his family or anybody who knew him would have said, well, that guy's lost, he'll never be saved. But here we have this example of him being saved. Right at the very end, he had been reviling the Lord up until that point. But here, seeing this bloodied body could only be through the Spirit, because he's the only one that got it, right? The disciples didn't believe. Much faith. Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then the tenderness of John as the oldest son toward his mother, plus his compassion. Jesus saying to John, "Behold your son." Jesus is the oldest son. I may have said John. Jesus is the oldest son. "Behold your son." Then he said to the disciple John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now about the ninth hour, we've had the 3 hours of darkness. You know, we can look at the Passion of the Christ, and maybe you can. I can't see it. It's too much for me. But we can depict the physical suffering. But we can't depict the 3 hours of darkness. What do you show? You show darkness. And I believe that was the worst. I believe that was blotted out from man's eyes to see the horrific cost of our sin, of satisfying the sin of the world for 3 hours. Darkness in the middle of the day, on a full moon, impossible for an eclipse. But nothing is impossible with the Lord, with the Creator. And we have this question, this crying out. Actually, I think he's also, even in that hour, bringing the people to go back and read the psalm, because this is frequently what they did in that culture. They would give the first line of a psalm, and that would be a prompting to read it, understand it, and so forth, or remember it. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Now, a loud voice is even more unusual than just a voice, because, again, you don't have any diaphragm that moves, because it's all sagged down. With a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And now, at the end, then, he said in John 19:28, "I thirst." After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." 2 verses later in the Gospel of John, it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'Tetelestai,' paid in full, 'It is finished.'" We need to remember the finished work was done solely and only by Christ and cannot be added to by anything or anybody. And Paul even says, if you add to it, then you nullify it. If you try to replace grace or add to grace at all, then you nullify it, because you're saying, "Well, I got to do this because I don't believe that his grace is sufficient." So, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. And in Luke 23:46, Jesus said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Father, our minds and hearts can't really receive the awesomeness of what you've done for us, really. But you have given us that opportunity to communicate directly with you now. The veil has been rent. The way to the Holy of Holies is open. The price of sin has been paid, and we can come directly to you. We've even been exhorted to come and pray. And so this morning, as we soberly want to remember what's behind and joyfully really look forward to what we will celebrate tomorrow, may we pray as you would lead us to pray this morning. May we redeem these moments together as we would respond to you, Holy Spirit, in leading us. Let us pray. I want to close with a victory song. "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah." We're singing that a day early, but it happened 2,000 years ago, so... Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels, say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. Hallelujah. Lives again our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah. Dying once, he all doth save. Hallelujah. Where thy victory, O grave? Hallelujah. Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids him rise. Hallelujah. Christ has opened paradise. So let's sing this together. What can we say, Lord, but hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But we praise you and worship you, and Lord, be with each one here this morning. I just thank you for them and pray we would honor you with our whole heart as we would proclaim this message to this generation and beyond in a way because of the upcoming ones too. Guide and keep in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.